Our gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Let us listen for the word of God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly they looked around and they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I think this is a passage that at its core is about listening. It was the evening of April 14, 1912. The SS California was steaming through the North Atlantic on a frigid but calm, clear evening. As the captain walked on the bridge, he all of a sudden radioed the ship to full stop. He realized that they were entering a huge, wide field of icebergs. They were glistening in the moonlight, and he knew how dangerous they could be. In fact, as he ordered the engines back to quarter steam and proceeding slowly with all hands on the bridge watching, he also ordered that the radio room send out a notice to any other ships that might be in the area that they might be warned about these icebergs. Cyril Evans was the radio operator. He did his job. He got on the radio. He turned it up to full and said, "Warning, icebergs," and gave the location, the minutes. The Titanic was close enough behind them that because the radio was turned up at full volume, it just about knocked the headsets off the Titanic radio operator's ears. His name was Jack Phillips, and he was so annoyed at how loud the radio message was that he didn't pass it on to his captain. And of course, a few minutes later that night, the Titanic ran full steam ahead into an iceberg and sunk. Because the radio operator wasn't listening. Like many men, listening is an area of growth for me. Gentlemen, I will freely confess that the biggest mistakes I have made in my life have been the times where I have not listened to my wife. I thought I knew better, right? I heard what she was saying, I just disagreed and thought I had better insight than her. Oh man, dear Lord, please help me not do this again. My wife loves me deeply. She cares for me. She would die for me. I should trust her, right? Why is it as humans that we have such a hard time listening, quieting ourselves down and taking somebody else's perspective? This text that we just read is a fascinating one. The Transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter and James and John, his three closest friends, up on a mountain into the wilderness. We talked last week in our reading, right, about Jesus going out into the wilderness himself. Jesus goes away. He encounters God. God speaks, right? He speaks incredible words of blessing. "You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." There's some strong parallels between that text and this text. Jesus, this time, takes his three disciples with him. They go out into a lonely place where they're away from the crowds and everything else. And something absolutely amazing happens, right? They've been hanging around with Jesus for a while, but then they see Jesus in a literally totally different light. I'm going to read this again. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. By the way, this is a bit of a reference. Any Jew reading this passage is instantly going to know what this is referring to. There's an Old Testament passage about clothing so bright white that you can't even look at it. You might know, you've probably read it. It's from Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, it's one of the great Jewish visions of the Old Testament, of God's glory. I'll read it for you. Daniel 7, starting in verse 9, I watched as thrones were put in place, and the Ancient One sat to judge. His clothing was white as snow, his hair like purest wool. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him. Many millions stood to attend him. It goes on. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority and honor and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. When they see Jesus clothed in bright white, what are they seeing? They're seeing the fulfillment of this, and they know it. They know this is God. They know this is the one coming before the Ancient of Days, the one who's setting up a kingdom whose power will never end. They get this incredible experience of seeing reality as it is, right? Jesus isn't just some carpenter from Nazareth. This is the guy. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God with man. He is the one setting up this kingdom that will outlast all others. The ultimate reality. Man, what a gift. To be able to see reality for what it is, even if it's for a brief moment. I love Peter's response. What does Peter want to do? Let's make a religion out of this. We'll build some churches. Let's build some temples because wow, this is amazing. We've got to encodify this. We've got to institutionalize this. And it's then, of course, that the voice from heaven speaks, right? I often think we offer God our religion, and God might be after something slightly different. He speaks very similarly to what we heard when Jesus comes out of the water at baptism, right? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Except this time he adds something for us, right? Listen. Listen to him. Maybe even more than building tabernacles and organizing religion, what God wants most from us is for us to listen. Listening is one of those tough things. It's very hard to do while you're doing anything else, right? You can't talk and listen. You have to stop. You can't be doing something else, engaged in building a tabernacle, and be listening. And here we have the divine speaking into this situation, speaking to us, God telling us what might matter most for you and I. This is my Son. Listen to what he has to say. It might change everything. We have so many voices in our world, right? The average American is exposed to over 2,400 discrete advertising messages a day. In the radio, on TV, when you're driving home, on somebody's T-shirt. And whether or not you buy in to what they're selling, right? I mean, and there's the brightest minds in America are writing ad copy, because it sells. Buy this car, and according to the ad, what happens to your life?
Changes
everything. If you just have this car, you're going to be cruising down the road with the wind in your hair, smiling, absolutely transformed. You will be full of joy and fun and power when you step on that gas pedal. And it will be great. Just buy this car. 29 payments at $399 a month. Come down and sign. Infinite joy awaits you inside this bag of Doritos. Right. Why do I just feel gross when I get done eating this? 2,400 advertising messages a day. And whether or not you buy into what they're selling, the subtext of every single one of those ads is the same. That the path to happiness, joy, and meaning and purpose in your life is getting more of what you want. Of course, Jesus says kind of precisely the opposite. Right? If we're going to listen to what Jesus says, his kingdom is different than the kingdoms of this world. His kingdom is not built the way the kingdoms of this world are built. It's not about getting, acquiring, dominating, or controlling. It's about giving of ourselves. A couple verses before this, Jesus tells them in Mark chapter 8, he says, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it." Jesus teaches us an absolutely reversed way of being in this world. Instead of seeking to gain and dominate and control and use anybody else we can use to help us get some better position, his kingdom, that person coming with the clouds of glory in front of the Ancient of Days to set up, the way that kingdom works is where we end up living to give. We enter into this world to every single conversation and relationship and interaction and contract, not seeing what we can gain, but rather seeing what we can offer. How can we bless the lives of the people we encounter? How can we leave them better off, more encouraged, more loved, more cared for? Because they came into contact with me today. I think listening to Jesus might be the best and most important thing any of us could do. Because in Jesus, we see what this looks like. In Jesus, we see somebody who had time for every single person who crossed his path. In Jesus, we see someone who had blessing and healing and presence for every single person. Even the Romans, even the pagans, even the people who are outside of the in-group. Jesus teaches us a dramatically different path. And Jesus is God's word to us, right? John makes it pretty clear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is very literally God's message to us. And God sure seems to want us to listen. So my challenge for you this Lent season, as you're turning your attention to God, as you're turning your footsteps towards Jesus, is to take the time to stop talking. To take the time to stop doing and to listen. Let Jesus speak to you. I think there's nothing God wants to do more than speak his words of blessing, his words of love. Because until we feel that love and blessing from our God, there's no way we're passing it on to anybody else. We can't give what we don't have. But Jesus says, "Come, all who are thirsty, and I will give you water of life freely." He's not charging. I love the Old Testament reading. What does Abraham contribute to this relationship? Nothing. It's God. God's saying, "I am going to bless you. I am going to do this for you. You come along." It's the same. We are called into a covenant relationship with God where God is a father. It's kind of like, what does Gianna do for me? Not much. Interrupts my sleep. Costs me money. And I would lay my life down for that little girl. I will give her everything I can. I will love her. I will protect her. I will provide for her. Jesus said we've got a good father, a better father than any of us earthly fathers. A father who might even be worth listening to. The story was told of a Native American who he and his friend had been close for a long time, and his friend had moved off to Chicago, gotten a job in the commodities exchange in Chicago. And after a few years, his friend came and visited him from the reservation in North Dakota. As they were walking downtown, middle of all the racket of the big city, L trains screeching overhead, taxis honking, people yelling, his friend says, "I hear a cricket." "What? You couldn't hear a cricket? Listen to all the noise." "No, I hear a cricket." And they cross the street, and there's a planter on the other side, and he lifts up the leaf, and sure enough, there's a cricket under there chirping. And his friend's like, "Man, you Native Americans must have supernatural hearing. There's no way I could have ever heard that." Friend from the reservation says, "Nah, you just hear what you listen for." He takes some change out of his pocket, throws it up in the air, and as the coins hit the ground, people turn from every direction because they heard money. Right. We hear what we're listening for. And I think one of the best things we could ever do is turn our time and attention to listen to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this offer of being willing to speak to us. May we think it is worth our time to be quiet, to be still, and to hear what you have to say. Amen. Let's stand as we are able and sing hymn number 254, "Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley."